How many are alive this morning? I'm certainly enjoying this camp meeting. These are times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I know I've been asked, how do you like in retirement? Some folks think I've retired. Well, I retired from pastoring, but I'm still preaching. Amen. And I think that we have enjoyed some of the best times of our ministry in the last 3.5 years. God has been so good. We have seen souls saved. We've seen many receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God's still on the throne. I was thinking of a fellow who retired, and he said now since he'd been around the house, he had joined the honeydew club. Because it was always honeydew this and honeydew that and honeydew something else. He said, well, he said, you ought to learn to do things with your wife. Better she's washing the dishes, wash the dishes with her. And if she's mopping up the floor, mop up the floor with her. Well, I wouldn't do that. Amen. I'm reading this morning from Philippians chapter 2. 3 verses of Scripture, verse 9, 10, and 11. They're familiar verses, but great verses. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you.
Hallelujah.
For this word. We thank you for the Sunday school lesson this morning.
Hallelujah.
And the education about wisdom and what it is and where it comes from. We thank you, Lord, that you are wisdom and righteousness and all that we need. Bless us now as we meditate together upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Shakespeare tells us that there's nothing in a name. That a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Now, that may be true of roses, but not people. My name signed to a check for $10 million wouldn't mean a thing. It'd bounce right out of the door of the bank. But signed by a fella by the name of Rockefeller, that'd be different. The bank would bounce. Names do mean something. When you hear the name of David, you immediately think of a shepherd boy that wrote the 23rd Psalm. The name of Solomon makes us think of wisdom and wealth. John Wesley brings to mind the Methodist Church. We ought to place value on our name and live so as to not bring any reproach upon it. For a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But I present to you this morning the greatest name that ever graced the heavens or was spoken on earth. A name that is above every name. There never was another who caused all the universe to be ransacked, to find symbols by which to convey to the human mind the greatness and the gloriousness of his preeminence. There never was another who was anointed the Savior of men, yet was crucified by man. There never was another who died and was buried, and yet lived, who saved others but himself could not save, who was the King of glory, yet wore the crown of thorns. There never was another who was as old as his heavenly Father, and ages older than his earthly mother. There never was another who in eternity rested upon the bosom of a father without a mother, and in time rested upon the bosom of a mother without a father. There never was another who poured all of the lakes and the rivers and the oceans out of the crystal chalice of eternity, yet one day hung on a cross and cried, "I thirst." A name that is above every name, a name that is above that of Gabriel, who winged his way from the portals of glory to the hillsides of Judea, serenaded the shepherds with the first Christmas carols, and announced the Savior's birth. A name above that of Michael, who cast Lucifer and his gang out of heaven for insurrection against the throne of God. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, "This day I have begotten thee"? Or unto which of the angels said he at any time, "Here sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Oh, God hath given him a name that is above every name. You see, he had to have a name that would compare with his greatness, with the mighty works he was to perform, the life he was to live, the death he was to die, the truth he was to propagate. Consequently, there was only one that was qualified and capable of naming him. That was the Heavenly Father. Now, you can match every good man in the world by one or more equally as good. Alexander conquered the world, but so did Caesar. Napoleon was a great general, but so was Wellington, for he defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. Plato was a great philosopher, but so was Socrates. Peter was a great preacher, but so was Paul. Beethoven was a great composer, but so was Mendelssohn. There is no mortal so great that you cannot be the equal by another. But when you mention Jesus, there's no one to stand beside him. He stands alone, unique and supreme. His name is above every name, and with him no mortal can compare. Napoleon was right when he said, "I know men. I tell you, Jesus is not a man. Comparison is impossible between him and any other being in the world. He's truly a being by himself." Isaiah picked up the prophetic telescope one day, looked out across the century, and he focused it in on Bethlehem and saw a baby being born. And he switched it a little bit and caught him at the age of 12, questioning the doctors and lawyers in the temple. He sees him going about doing good, performing miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, calming the storm, turning water to wine. He sees him climb a hill called Golgotha and die on a cross, and see him in the grave, and then come forth and ascend back to the Father's right hand. And he says, "It's wonderful. Just call his name Wonderful." And the way his name has endured through the ages is one of the wonders of the world. He rose with bleeding captives, chained to crimson chariot wheels and stormed and thundered their brief and fleeting way across the stage of life. Caesars with blaring trumpets and marching hordes have plumed their little day, then been swept over the horizon into oblivion. Kaisers and Napoleons and Mussolinis and Hitlers have becarded the skies with battle and soaked Flanders field with blood. But the luster of their names have faded and have taken their places in the smoldering archives of a yesteryear. But Jesus bears a name which with every passing year grows brighter and is heard upon the lips of millions today. Our mothers whisper that name over their downy babes as they rock them to sleep. Sufferers breathe that name in their sickness and feel its power to drive the aches and pains away. Heathen hear that name and are made glad. Sinners sob that name in repentance at the cross and feel its power to roll away the burden of sin. Saints shout that name as they cross over Jordan's rolling tide. It lives, it grows, it thrives, it grows. His name is wonderful. Why is it so wonderful? Well, someone has pointed out he had no army. He conquered no kingdom. He wore no crown. He walked, he rode no silver saddle steed through the streets. He left no books written by his mortal hand. But for 3.5 years, he walked among men and he talked. And yet in those brief months, his name, his words, and his spirit were indelibly stamped for all time upon the granite cliffs of unfading history. He left his tracks upon the sands of time, and all of the raging waves of atheism, agnosticism, and higher criticism cannot erase one sacred footprint from its place. He left his voice within the waterfall. He left his blood upon the road. He left and he touched the arch of the rainbow as he ascended and intertwined his words, his redemptive plan into the very loft and root of our life and existence. For in him we live and move and have our being. A name that is above every name. The conquering name of Jesus. With that name, and nothing but that name, the disciples were invincible as they marched across the countryside. With that name, they conquered disease. Peter and John, going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, encountered a lame man at the beautiful gate who asked of them an alms. Peter said, "We don't have any gold and silver, but we do have something. We have a name." And he reached down and took him by the right hand and lifted him up and said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Oh, the power of a name to put a man on his feet. He was immediately made whole. Had not Jesus said, "In my name, ye shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover"? Wigglesworth tells of a group of Christians that went to pray for an Episcopal vicar, who was wasting away in the last stages of tuberculosis. He tells how they gathered around the poor man's bed, joined hands, and literally just whispered the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And in about 15 minutes, down came the glory from heaven, shook the bed on which the vicar lay, and he was immediately healed. Oh, my friends, there's something about that name. You cannot whisper that name in faith without it doing something to you. that the disciples with that name conquered demons and drove devils out on the streets of Philippi. Paul and Silas were being followed one day by a woman that had a spirit of divination. And she was calling out, "Oh, we know who you are. You're the servants of the Most High God." And they were. But Paul didn't like that kind of publicity. And he turned around and spoke not to the woman, but to the evil spirit, and said, "I adjure you, in the name of Jesus, come out of her." And in that name he left. "For had not Jesus said, 'In my name ye shall cast out demons'?" Oh, that's a conquering name. That name conquers the hearts of men. John Getty one day went to the New Hebrides Islands armed with nothing but the name of Jesus. And after he had left, there was a plaque put upon a Presbyterian church that bears this inscription. Said, "When Reverend John Getty came here in 1846, there were no Christians on the island. When he left in 1872, there were no heathen, for his name had conquered them all." It's a saving name. God said, "Call his name Jesus, that he shall save his people from their sins." Peter said, "There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." Mother Schoonmaker, missionary to India, I heard her tell one time how she had acquired a native sign painter to paint a sign on the front of the compound. He came and mixed his paint. He ascended the ladder. He started working. And in the sign was contained the name Jesus. When he came to it, he paused. He looked at it. He spelled it out word by word. J-E-S-U-S. And finally, after staring at it for some time, he laid down his brush, descended the ladder, and went over to the house, knocked on the door, and said to Sister Schoonmaker, said, "There's something about that name. Tell me about it." And she told him the story of redeeming grace. "Oh, there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved." No wonder we pray and conclude our prayers saying, "Oh Lord, we ask these favors in the name of Jesus." I read in the Evangel a number of years ago about a couple of missionaries gone over to open a compound that had been closed for a season. And they were opening it up and they'd taken their lunch with them. In the lunch, they had a meatloaf. At noon, they came out on the veranda to eat their lunch. And they opened it up and they set meatloaf on a banister. And while they were there, all of a sudden, there came a great big bird down and stuck his claws in that meatloaf and flew off with it. And a few days later, told how that a heathen lady with two little children at her skirts came in and told this story. She said, "The other day, I and my children were hungry. We needed help. And I called them about me and said, 'Let us pray in the name of Confucius. Perhaps he'll hear us.' And she said, 'We prayed in the name of Confucius. We waited. Nothing happened. And I gathered my children around me again and I said, Confucius hasn't heard. Let us pray in the name of Muhammad. Perhaps he'll hear us.' She said, we prayed in the name of Muhammad. We waited. Nothing happened. She said, I gathered my children about me again, and I said to them, Confucius hasn't heard. Muhammad hasn't heard. I know of only one other God, and that's the Christian God. So let us pray in the name of the Christian God. And he said, while we prayed, a big bird came and dropped the meatloaf. Oh, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll do it. That name brings answers from heaven. It's the key that unlocks the door. For we're more than conquerors through that name. But it's not only a conquering name, it's an all-inclusive name. At the close of World War I, President Harding called for a peace conference to be held at our nation's capital. Invitations were extended to all of the major nations of the world. And among those representatives that came, there was a rather interesting, odd personality. The fellow attracted immediate attention by his clothes, his color, his conduct. When everyone else removed their hats, he kept his on. During the invitation, everyone else stood. But this man, who represented at that time 250 million people, his white turban was closely woven around his head and set on top like a pyramid. Around his neck was a string of beads that he fingered with great reverence, pushing them one by one from the right to the left. His oriental adornment gave him a rather weird and mystical appearance, for he was a high-caste prince from the land of mystery, Mohammedan nobleman from India. There he sat in silence, pushing his feet, sometimes moving his lips, but making no sound. Dr. Howard, a clergyman, noticed him and became rather curious. When he mustered up enough courage, he went over to the Mohammedan and said to him, what's the significance of that string of beads? He said, string? He said, that's no string. And pushing the beads apart to show him, he said, that's a golden cord that binds my soul to my Allah God. Yeah, but he said, those beads. Oh, he said, those are not beads. Those are gems. Gems of glory. Jewels. Jewels of joy. Pearls. The pearls of paradise. He said, this is my rosary. Each of these gems, jewels, pearls, 99 of them in all on this cord of gold, represent the 99 beautiful names of Allah, which are found in the Torah, the holy book of my religion. I was worshiping my Allah God, calling upon Him by all of His beautiful 99 names, as is found in the book of my religion. Then he paused. He looked at Dr. Howard. And he said, I challenge you as a Christian to match my rosary. I have better speaking acquaintance with my Allah than you have with your Christ. I know my Allah by His full name. And I challenge you to match me. Gem for gem, jewel for jewel, pearl for pearl. When I read that a number of years ago, I said, I'll accept the challenge, and I will have more names, more gems on a rosary of my own, more pearls. hills of paradise. More names for my Christ than that Mohammedan had for his Allah. So I began to search my Koran, my Bible, the book of my religion. And I find the names of our Lord scattered over its sacred pages like stars in the heavens, only they shine more brightly. And I reach into this jewel box to string my rosary, and I find it a galaxy of gems, a casket of jewels, a heavenly sunburst of pearls that give me an invisible rosary longer than that one worn by the Mohammedan. And they dazzle in brilliance, they transcend in beauty to reveal the majesty and the personality of the Son of God, who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, and when by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And as you peruse through the New Testament alone, you'll find over 200 such gems, names for our Lord. You'll discover the first one in Matthew is Jesus. The last one in Revelation is Jesus. And 700 times between, that's the pearl of great price. Jesus, the first name in heaven, but on earth, and the last name in heaven. The first and the last. And if you string your pearls chronologically from the New Testament, you'll have Jesus at both ends of the string. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. And all that's between. I'd like to say my rosary for you this morning, as I have it strung upon the golden cord of my memory. For you see the names of our Lord described, defined, declared, so that He might be better known. We know Him most as Jesus, but He is Adam, Advocate, Author, Alpha, Anointed, Apostle, Alpha, Amen, Ancient of Days, all in all. He's the beginning, begotten, beloved, branch, builder, bread, bridegroom, and brother, bright morning star, bishop of our soul, brightness of the Father's glory. He is cluster of counsel, captain, commander, consolation, chief cornerstone, crown, counselor, covenant, chosen of God, Christ. He is the daysman, deliverer, dayspring, daystar, door, David's Lord, desire of all nations. He is the elect, infant, everlasting Father, Emmanuel. He is finisher of our faith, forerunner, first fruit, friend, faith, foundation, fountain of life. He is the gift of God, governor, guide,
Lord, God. He is health, hope, husband, health, habitation, horn of salvation, head of the church, heir of all things, High Priest, hell's dread, heaven's wonder, the Holy One. He is the great I Am, intercessor, image of the Father's person, immortal and invisible. He is Judah, judge, the judge, Jesus. He is King, King of Israel, King of glory, King of kings, King everlasting. He is the light, love, lamb, logos, leader, Lord of glory. He is a messenger, minister, mediator, mercy seeker, master, Messiah, mighty God. He is a Nazarene, the offspring of David, Omega, only begotten of the Father, offering, offer, overcomer. He is priest, prophet, power, potentate, propitiation, purifier, Passover, prince of life, prince of peace, position. He is righteousness, rabbi, ransom, rest, resurrection, root of David, root of Jesse, ruler, refuge, refiner, restorer, redeemer, rose of Sharon and rock of ages. He is a stone cut out of the mountain, star, scepter, song, Shiloh, sanctuary, son of God, son of man, surety, sinless sacrifice, Savior, salvation, the same yesterday and today and forever. He is truth, truth, testate, tabernacle, cage, temple, tree of life. He is the way, the word, wisdom, witness. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. All incorporated in the name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It'll joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. But not only is his name a conquering name and an all-inclusive name, his name is the exalted name. God has highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name every knee should bow and tongue confess. A number of years ago, while pastoring in Pennsylvania, I followed the coronation ceremony of Queen Elizabeth very closely, because I wanted to preach on the coronation of the king, and I thought I could collect a few applications. It was said to be the most splendid coronation of all time, but there's one coming that'll be more splendid. As I watched the proceedings on television, and I saw the bishops of Canterbury in breathless silence lift that 5-pound jeweled crown from the tray and gently place it upon her head, and she was crowned king, a queen of the British Empire and all of its dominions. I couldn't help but think of the day when our Lord will be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of the universe. And after the crown, there came the acclamation. And by wireless, they called in the various dominions of the great empire, calling Australia, Australia, come in, acclaim the Queen. And representatives from Australia answered back, Australia honors our Queen. Calling New Zealand, New Zealand, acclaim your Queen. And New Zealand answers back, New Zealand honors the Queen. Calling Dominion of Canada, come in, Canada, honor, acclaim the Queen. And representatives answer back, we honor and acclaim our Queen. How significant that is of the day when Jesus is crowned and then acclaimed King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God has exalted him, given him a name above every name. They'll call in every part, all parts of the universe to acclaim him King. Calling heaven, heaven acclaim him King. And all the angelic hosts, the redeemed of the age, will answer back in a voice that sounds like the voice of many waters. Heaven acclaims her King. Honor and glory and power and majesty, dominion be unto him that sits on the throne. Then calling earth, earth, acclaim your King. And the inhabitants of the earth will bow their knees and lift their voices, and acclaimed him king. Calling hell, hell acclaimed the king, and the fallen angels, the demons, will kneel down on the brimstone beaches of the lake of fire and cry out, "We acclaim he's king." Sound fantastic? Listen to my text. Paul said, God give him a name that's above every name, that at that name every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. And every tongue shall proclaim that he is Lord to the glory of God. I close with this. One of the most attractive pictures in any art gallery is a picture of Jesus in the British Art Museum. It's not a picture of him as a babe in his mother's arms, nor kneeling in Gethsemane, nor hanging on a cross between two thieves. But it's a picture of the risen Christ standing above his empty tomb. And on one side there lays on the ground an old rugged cross. On the other side a cruel crown of thorns. And there he stands clothed in supernal light. And back of him stand all of the world's great. The Caesars, the Charlemagne, the Neros, the Nebuchadnezzar, the Napoleon, and a great host, all with bowed heads and folded arms. And underneath it is this inscription: all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, and there's something about that name. Let us stand and worship him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, wonderful name. Wonderful name. Wonderful name of